The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to TFL Talking Trucks podcast. And on this episode, I have huge news, Tommy.
Yeah, that's right, because we were just at the launch of the Nissan Armada, a full, complete redo of Nissan's full-size three-row body-on-frame SUV. But Andre, it's not alone.
Right. It got me thinking. 2025 will be the year of the full-size truck-based three-row SUV because most of the competitors are getting redesigned.
Yeah, exactly. Starting with the Armada, but we also recently saw the introduction of the new Tahoe and Yukon.
Yes, Yukon XL.
And Suburban.
Also Lincoln Navigator. Also Cadillac Escalade. Should I continue?
Yeah, and then later this year, we should see the reveal of the new Ford Expedition as well.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, it's been waves. Last year was definitely all about mid-sized trucks, and this year is about the three-row SUVs.
Yeah, and we'll see where it takes us. You know, hopefully next year will also be the heavy-duty truck year, but we don't have final news from Ram yet, you know, on their updates. So we'll have to wait and see. But there's a lot of excitement here because we in America, in the U.S., we love big SUVs, especially, you know, to carry lots of people and also tow a lot, many trailers.
Yeah, and Nissan has gone ahead and done some pretty crazy stuff with the redesign of the new Armada, including the first ever Pro 4X trim, moving the turbocharged power, changing some stuff around on the inside. So, well, Andre, before we keep going with our discussion, I actually interviewed one of the gentlemen responsible for the new Armada, a really great guy that you've actually met before.
Yes, Brent Hagen. He's a friend of the show. I just remember this. Brent and I went to a Tennessee Titans football game together.
Yeah.
Where Nissan, you know, had a kind of a event there. And I've known Brent for many, many years. And now he's kind of a regional manager for North America for Nissan Armada or body-on-frame vehicles.
Yeah.
And this is huge excitement.
Yeah, so he was pretty instrumental in making this vehicle happen. So let's cut to Brent and then learn a little bit more about this. And then we'll come back and talk about what we think of Armada and how we think it's going to stack up to the competition. All right, so we are here with Brent. And Brent, what do you do with Nissan?
I am the regional product manager for all body on frames, so including the Armada.
And by regional, you mean the US?
North America.
North America. Okay, very cool. So this is more or less one of your babies.
Absolutely. I've been working on this since 2018 timing, so absolutely one of my babies.
So high level, let's talk about the differences between the 25 Armada and the outgoing one. Is this a refresh? Is it all new? What are some of the big changes?
Clean sheet, ground up, completely different. Different frame, different powertrain, different body, different interior. It's all new.
Wow, all new. So like the front fenders, the hood, I mean, everything is completely transformed.
Maybe the windshield wipers are the same, but outside of that, it's all new.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
So Brent, now the old Armada ran a naturally aspirated V8 and a very conventional old school transmission. Why the switch to twin turbo?
Yeah, the VK56 and the outgoing model has a soft spot in my heart, but this twin turbo V6 provides more power, more fuel efficiency, better torque, better towing. It overall is a much, much better powertrain. You get a ton of low-end torque. We've got a 9-speed transmission behind it. This is, you know, taking a huge leap forward from what I love, the VK56.
Now, this is going to be a tough question to answer, but one of the things that's been a hallmark for Armada over the years is its longevity.
Sure.
They are super long-lived and reliable. Is there any concern that, you know, a twin turbo has some more complexity and some more attributes that make it a little different than the V8 in terms of being as reliable as the previous powertrain?
Nissan has a lot of heritage in V6s, in turbo V6s. There's been a lot of testing and development that's gone into this. This is going to be sold in the U.S. It needs to tow, it needs to off-road, it needs to haul the family very comfortably. We put a lot of time in the durability and reliability testing on this vehicle. I'm quite confident in it.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the power numbers.
Sure. 425 horsepower, 516 pound-feet of torque. So, you know, quite a bit more than the outgoing model.
Now, the kind of cousin vehicle to this, the Infiniti QX80, recently revealed with about 25 horsepower more. So what are the changes from the Infiniti engine to the Nissan engine?
Yeah, same torque. It's the same basic engine, same torque level, 516 pound-feet. But this is set to go regular pump fuel, so you don't need to go buy premium fuel. That is required on the Infiniti QX80, whereas this just runs off regular pump.
And obviously, we are pretty early on in the reveal of this vehicle, so fuel economy numbers haven't been announced. But from your experience, have there been noticeable improvements in the twin turbo to the V8?
Yeah, absolutely. Outgoing. Both the engine and the 9-speed transmission, significant improvement over the last outgoing model.
Okay. Well, let's close this up, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And let's talk about some of the design elements. So, pretty substantial change over the outgoing version. So walk me through some of the highlights.
Absolutely. From a front here, you can see big, strong, bold stance, wide. It needs to, you know, exude capability. So it starts here in the front with the double bar grille. That's harkens back to the old patrol heritage. So the G60 that we had in the US from 62 to 69 had that same front bar, and we carried that over, again, our SUV heritage that we had for many, many years. And then you can see that goes into the headlamps here. It tucks behind the front fascia and goes into our double C, as we call it, that locks together and brings the whole front locks in together, you know, from the grille all the way out.
Very cool. Now, obviously, there's quite a few trims on Armada. Are you going to see a pretty distinct design difference from like an SV all the way up to a Platinum Reserve?
Totally distinctive from SV, SL grade, then Platinum and Platinum Reserve. But what we're most excited about is how different the Pro 4X is. First time we've introduced that. It's got a unique front fascia, a unique grille, a unique rear. It's, you know, very, very different than the outgoing model.
Well, let's walk around the side and we can kind of keep talking about some stuff. So size-wise, how different is it than the outgoing version?
Overall, 7 to 8 tenths of an inch overall difference. So really the same footprint as the outgoing model, basic same wheelbase, but we've stretched a lot of the interior for more cargo capacity. But the overall, if you're comfortable driving one today, you'll be comfortable driving the 2025.
Has the curb weight changed significantly?
It's about the same roughly as the old outgoing model. It is a little bit increased. We offset that with the efficiency of the powertrain and the transmission. But we put a lot of technology in for safety, performance, for durability, fully boxed frame. So there are some adjustments from the outgoing.
Did the outgoing model not have a fully boxed frame?
The F-Alpha for it did have a fully boxed frame, but it's different and not nearly as robust. We've increased torsional stiffness on this vehicle by 57% the outgoing.
So I think one thing which is interesting is, you know, we just sat through the presentation. You did a great job. You know, in previous generations, there has been a pretty substantial difference between the North American spec Nissan Armada and like the global Nissan Patrol. Does that difference still exist in the new generation?
So we haven't unveiled the Patrol, but by the time that you're watching this, we will have. And it's a Global One vehicle. So we listened. Tommy, we've watched your videos. We've heard you guys talk about it. We watch a lot of TFL truck. We've heard from customers that they wanted the locking rear diff and they wanted that commonality. Why does Patrol get that over there and we don't get it? So we wanted to, you know, there's benefits across the board, but customers were clamoring for the same vehicle they have overseas to have in the U.S., and so we brought that.
Well, and it almost sounds like, you know, in the past, it kind of felt like the U.S. was second citizen compared to some of those stuff in, like, the Middle East. But now it sounds like we're getting trims in the U.S. that are not even available in other markets.
Is yeah, the correct? Pro 4X will be unique for North America. So we, you know, the heritage of Frontier and Titan, how that does really, really well. This is a Platinum Reserve. We've got a, hopefully, Pro 4X that you'll show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, unique for North America.
So walk me through the suspension. What is this rolling on?
So we do have two suspensions. We have a conventional suspension, and then we have this one, which is the air suspension with electronic dampers or intelligent dampers. And so this right now is in its entry-exit mode, and so it's got four levels of suspension or ride height adjustment. So you've got entry-exit to make it easy to get in and out or to load stuff in the back. Then when you go to drive, it will lift up to a normal ride height. You push four high, it'll lift up to its highest setting. So from top to bottom, it's about 4.1 inches of travel overall in the air suspension. So great for people who tow and they want to level out their ride, or for customers that want to go off-roading and want extra body clearance.
And I noticed on the inside you have a mode selection dial. Correct. With a bunch of different settings. Is that suspension height going to change based on the setting you select?
Not set based on the setting. It will when you do four-wheel drive or not.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's basically a set it and forget it. You go into drive and it goes. Now, if you put it, if you have it in four-wheel drive, it's not going to lower when you get out. But in normal two-wheel drive, if you hit park, it will lower to make it easy to get in and out of. But you can turn that off. There's an auto-off switch.
Now, Armada, is it available in both two and four-wheel drive?
Yes. So SVSL Platinum, Platinum Reserve, two-wheel and four-wheel drive. Pro 4X will be only four-wheel drive.
Okay. And I want you to kind of explain how the four-wheel drive system works, because it's a little different than I think a lot of people understand.
Okay. It's very consistent as far as the function with the outgoing Armada. So customers that are used to or comfortable with it. Starts in auto. So it's standard two-wheel drive. If it senses slip, it will engage four-wheel drive automatically. Or the customer can select and lock in four high or four low. It's a two-speed transfer case.
And that's one of the things which is kind of unusual in this class now, is a lot of manufacturers are now offering that as an option, the two-speed transfer case. Is this standard across the board with four-wheel
standard.
Drive?
Standard. Only all four-wheel drives have the two-speed transfer case.
We're going to have that two-speed transfer case. Now, that locking rear diff, which is awesome. Yes. is that only Pro 4X?
Only Pro 4X.
Okay, cool. And that's just a button you push in four low and to engage.
Correct.
It? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, same function as we've had, you've maybe experienced in Titan. Mm-hmm. Or others. So you're in four low, you hit the button, it will lock the rear differential, it'll give you a signal on the dash that it's done so, and you maximize the grip of those all-terrain tires.
So obviously, Titan's time in the U.S. has come to an end, and we've got the new Armada. Is there any carryover between the Titan and this new Armada, or are they on different platforms?
It is different platform. This is a ground-up brand new sheet, whereas the Titan carried over the F-Alpha and the previous generation. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a new update, but this is completely fresh and new.
Does it have a code name?
Does this one?
Yeah.
Y63.
That's the kind of cars and coffee information you can brag about at Pebble Beach in 40 years. All right, well, let's keep going down the side here.
Sure.
So Platinum Reserve here, we've got a sidestep. Mm-hmm. Does Pro 4X have any kind of rocker protection?
We don't have anything from the factory as far as rocker protection. We're hoping that you know, the aftermarket will fill that in a little bit.
Okay, very cool. And then roof rails standard or optional?
Roof rails are standard. Crossbars are optional, but the roof rails are standard.
Okay, very cool. And, you know, we're kind of in a world now where a lot of OEMs are starting to offer dealer-installed upgrades and accessories. Is that something you're looking at with Armada as well?
Yeah, our accessories team is in the kitchen right now cooking up a lot of great stuff. So when we launch, there'll be a host of accessories that'll come and be available that are spanned from, you know, creature comfort items all the way to off-road items.
Cool. All right. Well, let's keep coming around back. You got the kind of cool floating roof line back here, which I noticed. Mm-hmm. And then, because Andre's going to make me want to ask all sorts of questions, talk me through towing.
Yeah. 8,500 pounds standard towing across the grade walk. You have class 4 hitch built in. You have a 4 and 7 pin. And then an integrated trailer brake controller.
Yes! Andre's going to be so stoked. So, well, talk me through that. So it's actually built in from the factory.
Yeah.
In which trims?
It's on Pro 4X and up. You can get the integrated trailer brake controller.
Okay, so Pro 4X and Platinum Reserve will be available with integrated brake controller.
Right.
If you get, let's say you get the entry-level SV, like two-wheel drive, no integrated brake controller, does that change your towing capacity?
No, it's still rated for 8,500 pounds. Customers can go in and get an aftermarket trailer brake controller. It just doesn't have it from the factory.
Okay. And like, I just want to make this clear, like, even if you get a fully loaded Platinum Reserve, big sunroof, leather seats, massage, that's still the 8,500-pound towing.
8,500 pounds.
That's pretty cool. What about payload, you know? Off the top of your head.
It varies by grade. Maximum, if I remember correctly, is 1,466, so right around 1,500 pounds.
Okay,
maximum.
And then when you go up in the trim grade, it's going to
decrease. It does adjust.
Decrease.
As you go up. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, very cool. So that class 4 is standard. Why have the same towing capacity as the outgoing model?
Quite honestly, it's a sweet spot. We don't get a lot of demand to tow 10,000 pounds behind a full-size SUV. Once you get to that, those customers, they're looking at bigger vehicles,
okay.
Quite honestly. 8,500 pounds is incredibly confidence inspiring, but a sweet spot, you know, travel trailers, boats, you've got a whole host of things that you can do that fit in that 8,500 range.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and pop open the rear here, if you don't mind, Brent, and let's talk about cargo capacity. So we talked about earlier how the footprint hasn't changed. What about cargo space?
Cargo space, we've increased quite a bit. So again, as I mentioned, the wheelbase is basically the same. So the overall footprint, we didn't want to grow it. We want it to still be maneuverable and easy to drive, but we've stretched every single component on the inside to maximize. So you've got 28% more cargo space behind the third row, 18% more behind the second row, and we've got a much, much flatter load floor. So we heard those customers said, like, I got to put a dog crate in here and I don't want my dog leaning down, or maybe I even camp out in the back of the vehicle and I don't want to feel like I'm rolling downhill camping in the back. So we've flattened out the back as well.
Okay, and I'm noticing too, we got a bunch of different buttons and switches back here. You want to walk me through how those work?
Absolutely. So first is the suspension adjustment. So again, the typical scene, you know, customer pulls up behind Costco and they're like, hey, I need to load my TV. I got to put some bags of something in the back so they can adjust the suspension from the rear with these buttons.
Yep.
And then you've got the third row adjustment up and down. It's a one touch. And then you've got the second row release. So let's say you need to load and use the whole cargo area. You can do that all from right here in the back.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can we demonstrate that? Can we show how a third row lifts?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. So push in. Oh, it's not even a push and hold. So it's
a one touch.
One touch. And in terms of seating configuration, walk me through the options. Like, this one has the captain's chairs, Platinum Reserve. Are they all going to have that, or is there a bench available as well?
Standard bench, and then you have captain chairs option on SL, Platinum, Platinum Reserve.
Okay, so if you get the standard bench config, is that going to be an 8-seater?
It is. It's 3 in the back, 3 in the middle, 2 in the front.
That's pretty cool. All right, very cool. Well, let's walk over here, and I want to demonstrate another cool feature. Actually, I'm going to have Brent do it because this is his baby. So right now, second row is folded. Show me the different ways you can fold it, the way you can kind of pivot it forward to access the third row.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the standard fold-down condition, but let's say you've got young kids. I do. I've got a 2.5-year-old who's in a front-facing car seat. So you can actually just tip and fold and slide that, or you can bring it back down. So, you know, you can fold it down, or you can actually do the tip and fold.
And is that a change over the old one?
That is. We didn't have that in the past. So, I mean, honestly, the last generation, our model, my wife and I have one. Kind of a pain to get people in the back seat when you got that car seat installed. But
sure.
Now with the forward facing, you can literally just leave it in, tip and slide that, and hop in the back.
Now, one thing which I'm noticing is it looks like it's taken a pretty big step up in terms of fit and finish and luxury materials, at least in this Platinum Reserve. So there's a bunch of cool new features that you're debuting on Armada. So walk me through, and I'm going to get the name wrong. This is why he's here. The biometric
cooling.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so actually there's a little sensor up in the front right in the headliner where
can you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. You can see it from right here.
Alex, you want to get in there? Let's see if we can get a shot of that.
So see the right above the map lamp area there? You see the little, looks like a little eyeball kind of looking thing? It's just an IR sensor. It's not an eyeball. It's not a camera. and that covers zones 2 and 3. So the front passenger in the third row or the second row area, okay? And what it does is it reads the facial area for the customers that are sitting in there. So let's say, you know, mom and dad go pick up, you know, daughter or son from soccer practice, and they've been outside running, they're hot and sweaty, they jump in. Well, the HVAC's set on 70 degrees auto, but they're hot and they wanna cool down. It will read that, it'll read their skin temperature, it'll lower the temperature, increase the fan speed, and it can cool them down 50% faster than just auto HVAC. And then as it reads their temperature warming back up or coming to normal, it just goes back to the set point.
So is it going to change the number on that display?
Like if, no.
Okay.
It does not. So
they
still, the setting is 70 degrees, it's maintaining that. It's just to get you cooler faster, and then as it reads you're doing that, it just goes right back to 70.
Is that specific for cooling and not heating?
Correct. So when you're cooling, you want cold air blowing in your face. When you're cold and you want to warm someone up, you don't really want to just blow hot air on their face. You want to warm from your feet and your toes, your extremities. So it's a different type of action. So you don't really get the benefit of like high fan speed, you know, controlling you.
Interesting. All right, pretty crazy. And that's just like one of a bunch of new features in this Armada. So this one being loaded, walk us through some of the other luxury features. Let's start with the sound system.
Yeah, so a Klipsch system, 12 speakers, 600 watts, outstanding audio system. It's like you're at a live concert. We've got that. We also have our dual 14-inch screens that you can see there on the dash. We've got smart rearview mirror. We've got an in-car camera that will allow customers if they forget, maybe say they forget their bag or they want to take a selfie on their road trip, whatever else, they can actually use that camera for it.
And that's interesting. So let's take a moment and talk about that. So you can see it there integrated next to the mirror.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's one facing out the windshield and one facing back to the passengers. Is that correct?
So that one is just facing inward. But
okay.
And we do use the cameras on the front and rear, on the grill and on the back. And you can actually record incidents. As you know, something happens to your vehicle, it will record that. You can record automatically. You can record video or audio and save those onto a USB drive or actually offload them on the Nissan app.
Are there any security concerns about having a camera facing you all the time? Like, is it always recording? How does that work?
It is not. That camera in the inside is not always recording. You can take a picture. You can press you can access it through the app if you want to, but it is not always recording.
Okay. So it's not constantly watching you.
No.
Okay. Interesting.
It's on request.
But like you gave an interesting example earlier, like if you park this at a valet and the valet takes your car and you're at a sporting event and you're like, did I forget this purse or this item in the car? You can actually access that camera through your app and take a picture and see what's happening inside
the car. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Did I leave my purse in the passenger seat? Oh, yep. There it is. Good. I don't have to freak out and go back to get the vehicle.
Just out of curiosity, can you access that if someone else is driving the car? Like if like your teenager's driving it and you're wondering if it's full of like their friends in the back, is that something you can access?
Good question. If the vehicle is in motion, I don't believe so.
Okay.
I believe the vehicle has to actually be stopped.
Okay. Interesting. Well, let's keep going. So these seats are pretty swanky. So is this unique to this Platinum Reserve?
This is unique trim for Platinum Reserve. We've got three different color combinations. You've got a charcoal. You've got this one here, which is chestnut with rye. And then we also have an almond with chai interior.
Okay, interesting. And I'm noticing massage. So massage just driver's seat or driver and passenger?
Front row.
Front row, okay. Yep. So both driver and passenger. And then heating available in the rear as well?
Yeah, you've got heated and cooling in the front row, 12-way power driver and passenger seats, massaging the front row, as you mentioned, and you also have heated second row.
Okay, interesting. Wow. So I mean, what's interesting here, Brent, is this vehicle's moved so upscale. Like, is there any concern you're stepping on the toes of, like, the Infiniti folks? What do you think about that?
Great question. We spent a lot of time considering that, right? But the reality is these are very different customers. QX80 is luxury oriented. This is going to be adventure oriented. This is for customers that want to tow a lot, that want to go on adventures, that want to carry their family and go wherever. We do think they're spaced pretty well differently between the two.
Okay. So looking at the kind of driver area here, I'm noticing this little sensor above the steering column. Can you explain that little guy?
Absolutely. So that sensor is for our ProPilot Assist 2.1. That is our hands-off eyes-on system. So that sensor is reading your eyes to make sure you're actually paying attention. You can glance away for a second, but you need to be keeping, you know, attention to the road. But you can take off on controlled access roads. You can take your hands off and let the vehicle steer for you.
Interesting. So it's kind of like other competitor systems, but it's a little different than some other competitor systems where it is like a full hands-off system.
True.
As long as you're on a pre-mapped interstate,
correct,
the vehicle will do the driving for you.
Correct. And it gives you a notification. So when you're in ProPilot 1.1, which is a hands-on system, you'll see on the dash it's green. Mm-hmm. And then when it goes blue, it tells you you can take your hands off the wheel. And then actually, you can do that through the ambient lighting. So it's really cool. At night, you get this beautiful green hue in the lights. And then when it goes blue, it, you know, everything doesn't let you know, hands off.
So let's talk about the tech a little bit here. I'm going to go foot on brake. So screen and actual interface, is it similar to other Nissan products, or is there any differentiation to Armada that's Armada specific?
Yeah, this is the probably the first of a line of vehicles that you'll see with this new technology system. But it's got Google Automotive Services, the dual 14-inch screens. So it is the, you know, core to Nissan, but it's, this is one of the first vehicles to get it.
And walk me through what Google Automotive means for the average person.
Sure. It's a native Google system. And so, as you just said, you can say, hey, Google, take me to get some coffee.
Okay, or can I say, hey, Google, take me to the nearest Starbucks. Oh, interesting.
All right, Starbucks.
And then this mapping system also run through Google?
The mapping system is through Google as well. Yeah.
So you have like all of your traffic information that Google's best at.
Correct.
Integrated in the vehicle.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, is that a subscription service or is that built into
the
car?
That's built into the vehicle.
Great. And what about the hands-free driving technology? Is that subscription or also
built into the vehicle?
Okay, so that's a change compared to some of its competitors. So interesting. So you can not only ask Google questions, you can navigate places. Are there apps as well that you can download through the Google suite?
Yeah, Google offers a host of automotive related services and apps. Now, you have to get it through the Google Play Store. So if it's available for Google Automotive Services, then it can be downloaded on this Armada.
Okay, what about CarPlay and Android Auto?
Wireless CarPlay and Android Auto.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Cool. Very, very cool. Is it different than the current one? Is that also wireless?
Current one does, on the outgoing model, does have wireless CarPlay. I'm not 100% sure on Android Auto, but yeah.
I mean, what's interesting here is, like, if there was any doubt as to whether or not this was a mild refresh or like a slight redo of the current Armada, nothing in here feels carryover.
Correct. You know, when we went from a center console mounted shifter to the piano keys that you can see, the wireless charging pad is different, the kind of cockpit feel and design, the screens, it's a completely ground up design, new steering wheel, everything.
I just noticed this too. If you look over here, Alex, it actually says since 1951. You want to explain what that means?
Sure. So our Nissan heritage and DNA with building SUVs goes back to 1951. We've been doing it abroad with vehicles like the Patrol. We've been doing it here in the U.S. with vehicles like the Pathfinder and the Armada, the Xterra. So this is more about our heritage building SUVs across the globe.
Okay. So I think that's really cool. I mean, because, like, obviously there's other Japanese brands, Land Cruiser, that have heritage that people know about. And I don't think a lot of folks in the U.S., your average consumer, knows that, like, Nissan's been there the whole time as well. Yeah. Right? And maybe we haven't seen a lot of the Patrols that were sold abroad, but like they've always been there.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is interesting. And I, like, we were just talking off camera. I didn't realize that they had the Patrol sold in the U.S. for 7 years.
Yeah, from 62 to 69, we sold, somewhere in the 2,500 to 2,800 range overall. But yeah.
True. Very cool. Well, let's just check out one more thing in the rear seat here, Alex. Second row, do you have slide and recline?
Yes.
On the rear seats? Okay. Very cool. And then I'm also seeing you got a couple of USB-C ports back there, and then a really narrow center console.
Yeah, that's intentional. So you can still put your phone, have a cup holder, but it's a pass-through. So you still have a place to put your feet, so you're not stepping on the console or whatever's in the console. So you actually have room to get back to the back comfortably.
Cool. And I'm also noticing you got air vents integrated into the roof.
Yes.
For kids, furry friends, whatever you might have back here. So what do you think folks are going to recognize as the biggest change in Armada from the outgoing model to this one? What's the headline?
Yeah, the headline is massive improvement in refinement, in power and efficiency from the powertrain, in technology, And then lastly, in capability, especially with adding the Pro 4X.
Okay, interesting. So Brent, you are entering and have been in a very competitive class, right?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
The three-row segment in the States is on fire and has always been on fire. What separates the Armada from the GM Twins and Ford and the other competition?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just about Japanese DQR, dependability, quality, reliability. We think we offer that in spades, as you and I talked about, right? There's a common one vehicle between the Patrol globally and the Armada here, so that DQR is built into the DNA. We also have the refinement and the efficiency of the V6 downsized turbo with the 9-speed transmission. And then, honestly, our packaging and our PQ, our perceived quality. Like, overall, the vehicle's beautiful. It's going to last a long time, and it's going to serve every need the customer has.
And who do you think is the general customer purchasing our model? Like, walk me through that profile.
Typically, it's an affluent customer, obviously. They're more suburban or rural by nature, but then they're going to have a family. They're going to have 2-3 kids that they want to haul around. I mean, at its core, an SUV is a people mover, but this is a rugged, capable, adventure-ready people mover.
Interesting. So, I mean, this is really obviously the 60s model is a little different, but the first time in the U.S. we're getting, I think, what a lot of folks would consider a proper patrol, right? Especially with that Pro 4X, which we'll check out in a second here. Do you expect folks to be actually doing some adventure driving in their Armadas and taking them on trails and that kind of thing?
I sure hope so. We didn't put a locking rear diff in a Pro 4X trim for it to only be a mall crawler.
To hear that, the man responsible has challenged you to go take yours out on the trail. That 9.6 inches of ground clearance, is that the same across the trims?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same for the conventional suspension as well as the air suspension. Obviously, with the air suspension, you get quite a bit more approach and departure angle, body clearance, but the ground clearance measured at the front diff and the skid plate is the same across them.
Does like this Platinum Reserve have the same underbody protection as the Pro 4X?
Pro 4X has a little bit more. It has metal underbody skid plates. This has some basic armor that has a more advanced armor.
Okay, and then I also noticed on the Pro 4X it has recovery points.
It does.
Unfortunately, I have to ask now based on some of our market share, but are they functional or are they visual?
Functional, real recovery points. And as you noted, there's dual in the lava red color on Pro 4X to really highlight and stand out.
Okay, very cool. And then you've got the locking rear diff on that version and then a different wheel and tire setup as well.
That's correct. All terrain tires and unique wheel design.
And do all Armadas have a full-size spare? Do you know?
You asked me that question. I had not gotten the answer yet.
That's okay. I apologize.
We'll come back on that one.
Font it below. That's no problem. So what are you most excited about with this new generation?
I'm excited to see it on the road and people using it. I mean, you mentioned I offered a challenge on the trail. I'll look forward to seeing them on the trail because I'll have one and doing it myself. But I'm just looking to see it in the wild. I get a lot of joy from seeing customers use these vehicles. So whether it be towing, whether it be filling it up with people or cargo, seeing it on the road, hands off, driving itself. Any of those aspects, I get really excited to see our customers actually using them.
Interesting.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Well, Brent, thank you so much. I really
Thanks,
appreciate
Tommy.
This chance to walk around this vehicle with you. And it's a pretty big shift, you know, over the old generation. I was a little concerned that it was going to be, you know, slightly different front end, some bold new graphics, but it turned out to be an all new vehicle underneath. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I have to say, there's an army of people from the U.S. and across the globe that are behind me. And so we're excited to bring it to market.
Sweet.
Tommy, I actually wish I was there with you and Brent.
Yeah, really cool guy. Brent has a really long history at Nissan. He used to be one of the folks in charge of Titan.
Yes.
Right? Before that got the axe. And actually, that's one thing which I think is a little bit unfortunate, is if the Titan had held on for like another couple years, it likely would have seen this update along that new Armada platform.
Yeah.
And it would have been pretty cool, actually, because I think Nissan, back when the Titan was around, Nissan was really strangled by the budgets and by, I think, perhaps some corruption under the Carlos Ghosn era.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've really reinvented themselves in the last 2-4 years, I think the Titan could have been something really special, especially if it carried on with that tradition of what the new Armada's doing. So I think it's sad that it died.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to speculate too much. I mean, I wish Titan would come back in some form, and it might, but I don't want to speculate right now. I want to focus on this. And first of all, I was surprised that this is an all-new vehicle. Mm-hmm. But like Brand said, it is all new.
Yeah, and starting with the engine, so it went from that 5.6-liter V8 down to the twin-turbo V6. I should say down in terms of displacement and cylinder count.
But up in terms of power.
But way up in terms of power.
Yeah, and we've been watching some of your comments. You know, we already published one of our videos about the new Armada. And a lot of you out there actually equate this engine, because it's a 3.5-liter twin-turbo V6. A lot of you mentioned Ford, because Ford's been doing this since 2011. They introduced a twin-turbo V6 in their pickup trucks and, of course, SUVs. The Ford Expedition has been using twin-turbocharged power for many years, actually, in various iterations.
Yep.
But I was impressed with Nissan. 425 horsepower is actually more power on standard, regular, unleaded, 87, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than the EcoBoost Expedition, and it's also more power than the V8s in the GM SUVs.
Yeah, it's a little down compared to its sister, the Infiniti QX80, because that vehicle, they told me, mechanically the same engine, but they tuned it to run on premium versus this one, which was tuned to run on regular, which was the right call. Look, I understand the concern from folks about the reliability.
Yes, of course.
But I did talk to them, and they are very, at least what they told me, confident that it will have the same longevity as that naturally aspirated V8. It's a cliche. Only time will tell, and we'll see what happens.
And also, I have a bone to pick with Brent and his team.
Okay.
Because they did not unveil the efficiency numbers, right? Mm. They talked about, you know, that they had it in mind, right? The twin turbocharged engine and also the 9-speed automatic behind it is supposed to be more efficient than the outgoing V8. We saw something similar. Toyota did that, right, with the Sequoia. They actually went hybrid, right? All Sequoias now, three-row truck-based SUVs, are hybrids, but they're also using twin turbos in that engine. But usually, in our experience, at least here at TFL Truck, twin turbo V6s, under load, they're not efficient.
No.
Right?
No.
So, I mean, on the highway, you know, if you're just cruising by, maybe on a road trip, maybe under certain conditions, it would be efficient. But generally speaking, there could be an issue.
Brent was saying to me off camera that we should see a pretty sizable increase in fuel economy numbers, EPA numbers, on this new Armada. Look, here's my only... I really do like the power of the twin turbo setups in like the Tacoma, in the Ford, in the Sequoia and in the Ford products. My only complaint is they don't have a lot of character, right? It's like the 5.6.
For sound, yes.
Yeah, 5.6 had a really linear power range and it had a really great growl. Same thing with that old 5.7 in the old Sequoia. And then going back way back to some of the older Ford stuff. The new V6 stuff, for the most part, all drives, in my opinion, and sounds virtually the same. It's got like a lot of low-end torque, not a ton up high, and kind of a hairdryer whoosh as you accelerate, but there's not a lot of excitement and character in those engines. But maybe you don't care if you're buying a family hauling SUV.
Yeah, and so the current Armada 2024 V8-powered Armada four-wheel drive is rated at 13 city, 18 highway, and 15 combined.
With four-wheel drive, yeah.
I think that'd be pretty easy to beat.
Yes, I don't think it's going to be tough.
So Nissan could beat that. But once again, let's talk about GM. We've gone long enough because they're class-leading sellers, mm-hmm. right? If you look at General Motors, they have the Chevy Tahoe, the Suburban, the regular Yukon GMC, and the Excel version, which is basically a Suburban version. They have two versions of the Cadillac Escalade, you know, the standard and the long wheelbase. We're not talking about electric Escalades right now. let's just stay with internal combustion vehicles. And if you look at their sales, they control, I want to say, like 66 or 67% of the market. Mm. Recently, there was a decline. Let me look up the story while we're talking on tfltruck.com because I follow the sales numbers pretty closely there.
Yeah.
But GM is staying with V8s and diesels, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have two V8s still, the 5.3 and the 6.2, and the 3-liter diesel, the latest iteration of that diesel is coming.
And, you know, the old iteration was awesome. That was such a characterful engine that made some really great sounds and delivered some great highway fuel economy numbers. It was pretty efficient. Of course, then you have to factor in the added cost of diesel maintenance, the added cost of diesel exhaust fluid, right? There's a whole bunch of other factors worth considering, but it is a really cool engine. And then speaking of the gassers, Andre, right? I mean, they are sticking tried and true with 5.3 and 6.2 power.
Yeah, and that was a little surprising to me. Well, maybe, let me think. So obviously those customers love those engines, right? Why sure. walk away from something that's successful, right? But I'm ready to see some innovation in their powertrains, right? So, and their power levels remain the same. So the 5.3 V8 in the Tahoe and Suburban used to have 355 horsepower. It's still the same. The 6.2 used to have 420 horsepower. It's still the same, right? So they haven't updated their power numbers. They haven't changed, you know, they haven't added hybrids. And the diesel option is exciting. So it's coming early 2025. Mm. They're going to have, and it's the same for the Yukon, right?
Yep.
The latest updated LZ0, that's the code name for the 3-liter Duramax straight six. And we've tested that engine in pickup trucks before, and it's really great for highway driving, right? You can get, you know, 23, 24, 25 even, or even more sometimes MPG on
and
the highway.
The cool thing about that... new Tahoe, Andre, is for the first time you can get that diesel engine with the Z71 off-road pack, which is a combination people have been wanting for a long time. So it's great that you're able to do that. And now, speaking of that, the off-roading has come in a big way to the Armada because we are getting a Pro 4X version.
Yeah, totally. And your video that you could find at oltfl.com kind of focused on the Pro 4X. Thank you, Brent and team.
Yeah.
So that's a huge kudos to the team, because I think you and I and Nathan and Roman and the rest of our team, when we have tested previous Armadas, we've always mentioned, what about Pro 4X?
Yeah.
You know, the Titan had Pro 4X for many, many years. And they finally listened, and they listened to the customers. And I'm happy that it has unique fascias, front and rear, mm-hmm. because approach angles are really important.
Yeah, I mean, skid plates, recovery points in the front, and it even has a rear locking diff, a true rear locker. What I'm happy about is for the first time in Armada history, we are getting the stuff that's as good as what they get abroad. So abroad, the Armada is sold as a Patrol.
Yes.
But really what I should say is locally, the Patrol is sold as the Armada, because the Patrol has this huge long history of overseas sales, huge in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia, huge in parts of, really inhospitable parts
around
of the world.
Around the world, yeah.
Yeah, and they've always been really capable and had some really cool off-road goodies that have never made it down to the watered-down Armada. But now the Armada and the Patrol are virtually identical, except North America is getting a Pro 4X and other markets aren't. So in some ways, we're actually getting the better of the options.
Yeah, finally, you know, usually there's a lot of focus sometimes overseas, but now there's focus here.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to see that. It has unique wheels and tire package. I kind of wish the 20-inch wheel width is a little bit smaller
sure.
and a little bit more beefier tire, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see how it actually. And Brent challenged everybody. He said, take them off-road, use them. So we'll be driving this soon, I hope.
Heck yeah. And look, I mean, it's a competitive spot in that full-size off-road space. Right, you not only have Pro 4X, but you've got TRD Pro in Sequoia.
Yes.
You've got Z71 in the Chevy products.
You have AT4 in the Yukon GMCs. And also now a more luxurious AT4 Ultimate in that space. We'll talk about pricing in a minute.
Yeah.
And then there's rumors about Expedition Tremor package coming. And, you know, there's some spy photos flying around, but Ford hasn't said anything
official
right now.
But the word on the street is they're leaving Timberline and they're going to Tremor.
To Tremor.
Which is
as a top off-road dog.
As a top dog, yeah. Which I think is a good idea. So look, this is a space that is definitely worth watching. I think Nissan did everything they needed to compete. Air suspension as well. Proper low range in this Armada. So a lot of really good actual hardware to make this decent off-road.
Yeah, and you asked Brent about the four-wheel drive transfer case, right? It sounds like basically a full-time system, right?
Right, but there's no way to lock it in rear-wheel drive.
Right, you can't select two-wheel drive only, right? It's always kind of working and thinking like an all-wheel drive mode, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of lock it in four high or four low and get that benefit as well.
So you basically have four auto for every day and then four high and four low.
And different manufacturers do this differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
GM has two-wheel drive modes. And then different transfer cases depending on trim level, right?
Yep.
Ford does it slightly differently too, you know, with two-wheel drive and different transfer cases as well. And we haven't mentioned one manufacturer, is Jeep. Jeep Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer are also in the space. And actually recently, I finally pulled up my sales chart. Wagoneer had a huge increase in sales this year. In the first half of 2024, they sold 29,865 Wagoneers, not even speaking about more like, you know, the larger Grand Wagoneer. And I think a lot of them may be fleet sales as well.
Yes.
But they're still here, you know, and they're still here in big numbers.
That is one thing, and I don't want to speculate, but from what I have observed, granted, it's very...
It's observation.
Observation, yes. Right? It's not official. But whenever I see a lot of Wagoneers, like I saw a ton of them on when I went on my honeymoon in Hawaii as rental cars, right? Which is fine. I mean, that still is a sale for Jeep, and it's still good for them to have that market. But it seems like I'm seeing a lot more rental fleet sales
Wagoneers
than I'm seeing of like private individuals. Yeah.
And here in Colorado, we have different license plate for our fleet vehicles versus not.
Yeah.
So sometimes we see that too here. And sometimes when you see those red outline of the license plate, that means it's a fleet vehicle.
And the Grand Wagoneers, I'm seeing a lot of livery cars. So kind of that and the Escalade.
Big shuttles.
Yeah,
right. Those are airports.
Yes, like a resort or something will have them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, good point. That's a vehicle that we don't talk a whole ton about because there's not a ton of brand new news on Wagoneer, but also very much in the space.
But the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer, once again, six cylinders, straight six engines.
Turbo, yeah.
Turbocharged. So no more V8s in the Grand Wagoneers.
Another case. Now that engine, I do think has more character. That inline six has kind of a really unique sound to it and a pretty aggressive power band as well. So I do like that that big straight six.
And they also have a high output version of that.
That's right.
In the Grand Wagoneer.
Really hauls butt, yeah.
540 horsepower in the high output Hurricane engine there.
Yeah. So Andre, let's talk about some of the towing capability of these full-size SUVs, because that is a key aspect and one of the reasons people buy these big behemoths. So how does the Armada compare?
Well, it's coincidentally, it's beating the Tahoe by about 100 pounds.
Ah.
So they checked that off the list. So the Tahoe two-wheel drive is rated at around 8,400 pounds. The four-wheel drive Tahoes are rated at around 8,200 pounds. The Armada is at 8,500 pounds. And what surprised me when you were talking to Brent, every trim level tows the same or has the same rating.
Right.
Right. So no matter if you're buying an off-road version or a basic one or a loaded one, payload, of course, varies. So you have to be very careful, you know, not to overload the payload.
Yep.
But towing numbers are that just stay about there. Now, Ford has slightly higher numbers.
Okay.
So Ford goes up to about 9,100 currently. They may raise it in the future. And the leader right now is Jeep, actually.
Oh.
The Wagoneer has a maximum tow package with 10,000 pounds.
Wow.
So Sequoia is, I think, around Armada in the same ballpark.
So this is kind of the lower end in the class. How about like the Tahoe Suburban Twins? Where are they sitting at?
Between 82 and 84.
So they're a little lower still.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
now, yeah.
So we have to ask, maybe the audience can help us here. Is that enough, right? Mm-hmm. And especially for Nissan, because if you're looking at GM, Ford, and Stellantis, they have heavy-duty pickups. They have other pickup trucks that can handle more loads. But this is their top dog,
right?
Right. So is 8,500 pounds enough, or the customers, should they go somewhere else?
Now, that number is unchanged from the old one. But Brent actually made a big deal about this. He said, tell Andre, because he had been bugging me for so long, tell Andre we put an integrated brake controller.
Yes.
He called you out by name, my friend. Have been instrumental in the design of this new Armada.
Well, I appreciate that. But I think Roman also played a part.
Also my dad. He said, tell Andre and your dad that based on those conversations,
yeah,
you know, we finally have a brake controller.
Because your dad noticed in the Infiniti QX80, there was not a built-in one.
Yeah, and Brent was like screaming under his breath, but he couldn't say anything because the Armada hadn't been revealed yet. But he was very proud of that. So good work to Nissan for integrating that brake controller.
Yeah, and a lot of manufacturers like GM, Ford, and others also include that. So
sure.
It's kind of par for the course, right? If you don't have that, you're going to start wondering. But Brent said the base Armada will not have an integrated brake control. You have to buy an aftermarket one.
Yeah.
Which is a little surprising to me. But I guess they have to kind of control costs somehow.
And then payload, so he's saying payload tops out like in the mid 1400 pound range.
Mm-hmm.
This Armada I'm looking at on screen, if you're watching on YouTube, is the Pro 4X, and I actually looked at the sticker, and it did, in fact, 1452.
Really? For yeah. off-road version?
Keep in mind, this is pre-production,
okay.
Right? That may change, but at least on the one they had there, I did poke around underneath there and saw that 1452 number. So pretty good payload numbers.
Yeah, and that's almost near the top of the class. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, but if you're carrying 7 or 8 people, right? You need every pound you can get. And also, if you're carrying 7 people and towing something, it's easy to run out, right?
Right.
It's easy to run out of that payload.
And then let's talk about some interior impressions, because I did have a chance to kind
of
poke around some buttons.
Yes.
It feels really nice. I mean, the stitched leather seats were very, very comfortable. A little too much in terms of piano black across the center console, and I don't like the piano key push-button gear selector. But the technology feels really good. That dual 14-inch screen looks fantastic, nicely integrated. Talking about integration, did you see the spy shots on that Expedition screen? It's like an IMAX movie theater. I'm really curious to see what the heck Ford is up to with those. But at least the Nissan, really well integrated, felt snappy, felt quick. It's the latest generation of screen system. And it really felt like a step up in terms of quality from the old one. Like you were buying an Infiniti at Nissan prices. I loved the way the interior kind of fit together and the way it was finished. It really felt great. So kudos to Nissan's interior design team. It also felt more bespoke. Like the old one felt kind of like a hodgepodge of Rogue and Ultima and other
some,
parts.
Some older switches maybe.
And they had, oh, I forgot about this. They had the worst pleated, like ruffled leather on the door panels. Do you remember in the old Armada?
I remember, but it
looked like from an 1984 Cadillac Brougham. It had like these like creases in it that looked like my grandfather's couch.
Well, yeah, but I didn't mind that as much. I mean, it was
a generational thing.
It's a generational
back
thing.
Back in Moscow, Andre, that's what made you feel comfortable when you were sitting on your stools, huh?
But my buddy, who's a real estate agent, has a current Armada,
mm-hmm.
and he's not afraid, you know, to put people, you know, his clients into one, because it's always been kind of big and comfortable, right?
Sure.
And kind of nice interior. I think they did step it up.
Yeah.
It's really modern now. It's stepped up. The center console is what looks big in this picture, but it's pretty large. Did you feel like kind of a cockpit?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's more driver-centric. So the old one was more minivan-like, where everything was kind of flowed into each other. This one's more divided, driver to passenger, which may be a dislike to some folks. But I felt like it was a more intimate space. And I mean, it's still massive. It's still a huge amount of space. Yeah. They actually increased interior volume without really changing the size of the vehicle.
That's impressive.
So that really good packaging. And then, like, if you want features, like, you can option the Nissan hands-free.
Driving
stuff. Right, you can option it with an interior-facing dash cam, which I think is really silly. Why not make it an exterior-facing? I don't care what my face looks like.
And also a facial heat recognition.
Yes, there is.
They have this climate control system.
There's a sensor that will read the face temperatures of the people in the back seats. And if you haven't,
adjust the climate control.
If your kid comes in after soccer practice and his temperature's 1,000 degrees, it will actually increase that AC system to cool him off.
Yeah, that's impressive technology. And of course, we haven't talked about pricing because pricing wasn't announced at this time. But I'm always concerned, right? Because a lot of our viewers always tell us, you know, everything is getting way too expensive. And the fact that they're adding so many features, right, gives me pause. And what about that transmission shifter? You said piano keys. Did you try to use it while you were sitting there?
A little bit, yeah. It's pretty intuitive. From what I remember, this program happened a while ago, but there's like 4 black buttons.
Square keys.
Yeah. My problem is they all look the same and they all feel the same.
Yeah.
Like it would be good if GM does like that push-pull thing. So you have
at least they used to.
Yeah, they used to. You have a very tactile feeling of, you know, am I pull to drive, push for park? This is all push. But I think if you own the car for a few weeks, you'd have that down flat. And then you do have some physical buttons still, so credit to them. Like the drive selector has physical buttons, the The rear locker is a physical button. The four-wheel drive setup is a physical button. So that is still good. I'm a big button guy. And the same thing with the steering wheel, right? You got a lot of physical
And the climate
controls.
Control systems are switches and buttons.
So, yeah, I did appreciate that. Yeah. And then I, from what I've seen, that new Nissan infotainment system, I think it's like a Google-based system. Uh-huh. Feels much better than the old setup. Really intuitive, snappy, and looks good. So, look, I mean, I don't have a lot of complaints with the new Armada. I think the front-end styling is a little GM, you know.
But they're the leader in sales.
They are the leader in sales. There's a couple other little reservations I have, like we talked about with the fuel economy, with the twin turbo and towing. I would have liked to see them push the towing numbers up a little. 8,500 is good, but
especially
it's the same.
If this is their top dog, right?
Yeah. Off-road spec, I think they probably, like you mentioned, Andre, should have put a smaller wheel on it. I think that would have been a good choice for actual off-roading. But they did everything that I really disliked about the old one. They fixed in the new one.
And the Google-based, basically, infotainment and control system inside the Nissan, Brent said it's kind of one of the first vehicles to receive it. There'll be more vehicles in Nissan's lineup.
Yeah.
And also a lot of other manufacturers are going this way, right? GM has a Google-based system. Now Ford is switching to a Google-based system as well for a lot of their vehicles. So it seems like it's a common thread in many of these vehicles.
Luckily, if you hate it, you still have CarPlay and Android Auto.
And wireless capability of CarPlay and Android Auto here.
Which is huge, right? That's a really, really nice thing. So, I mean, my only other reservation is going to be the price.
Okay.
I think we're going to see a pretty significant price bump. What do you think?
So I looked this up, right? So I looked at the current Armada, right? Because I was concerned with this. By the way, here's what, if you're watching us, here's what the new Tahoe will look like. Mm-hmm. So this is you. By the way,
same color.
This is the most popular color. Yeah, it's like this kind of grayish
green
tinted concrete color. The Tahoes are not on sale yet.
No,
you saw it like a year ago.
Yeah, what is
like,
taking so long?
What the heck?
I think GM was really set back by some of the strikes.
Right? Yes. Yeah. So back to price. Back to price, because we really don't know what's happening with the Tahoe and Suburbans, because they're saying end of year.
Well, so Nissan's saying too.
And Nissan says end of year, right? So the current Armada 2024 two-wheel drive, including destination, is $58,380. Mm. That's good, because the base Tahoe is around the same price. The base Expedition is around the same price. So that price is crucial, right? The entry price. Of course, that price can be inflated. I mean, there's $85,000 Tahoes rolling around, right? So I'll be interesting to see. I think there will be a bump because new technology, new engine, new styling. He said even new frame. They redesigned the frame as well.
Yeah, it's not a facelift. It's an all new platform. Yeah.
So I'm going to call this 59995.
Oh, I think that's pretty close to what I was going to... I'm going to say 61 starting. I'm going to be a little bit...
Including destination.
Yeah, so I think it's going to go up about 3,000.
Mm.
But...
I think you might be right, but I'm still trying to be the optimist,
The thing about Armada, though, is like, if you try to buy one now, usually you could probably get some money on the hood from a dealer standpoint.
Yes.
Right? And that has made the Armada typically a more affordable option than like the
General Motors. Kind of the value-based option.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this one I don't think is going to be the value-based option. It's a new hot thing. You're not going to see a lot of discounts on them. But for once, I think it doesn't have to be. Right? It's good enough now to compete with the best of GM and with the best of Jeep and with the best of Ford. So I think that they did a phenomenal job. And genuinely, I'm excited to see what it drives like. I hope it's soft and squishy and good off-road.
And powerful. Lots of torque, 516 pound-feet of torque.
Yep.
And it didn't skimp, like we said, on skid plates on the off-road version or the approach angles. I read in the spec sheet, 33 degrees of approach.
Yeah, it's got a really stubby nose.
That's impressive.
Yeah, they really did a good job. And it's got those skid plates underneath. It's got some cool styling cues, like these little... See those little streaks in the front? Those are kind of reminiscent of like the hard body Nissans from the 80s.
Yeah.
On the inside, there's some patrol references, which is really cool.
Like the history of the heritage of the patrol.
Yeah. So like they did a really good job with this Armada. I personally like it more than the new Infiniti as well. I think it's just a more rugged utilitarian design, which it's supposed to be. And I hope it sells well. I hope it does well for them.
Yeah, I agree. Cannot wait to drive it. I think we'll have to put it on the iGauntlet. Like
sure.
I said, 2025, the year of the big SUV. The new Tahoe, you know, may drive differently a little bit because, you know, they've changed quite a bit on the interior as well as, you know, some of the exterior pieces. So we need to compare them and see exactly what they're like.
But folks, let us know what you want to know about the new Armada, and we'll keep you in the loop as we have more information and as we are able to get behind the wheel. We'll be sure to do our usual tests.
Did Brent drop any hints about the future?
No, he was very tight-lipped.
That's the kind of the corporate thing.
Yes, right? I did. I tried to
did
poke him.
Did you nudge him,
a little.
And say like Xterra? Did you punch him?
Yeah, he was not. So I think Brent also is in charge of Frontier.
Yeah. By the way, Frontier has been refreshed. But a mild refresh for 2025.
Very mild. Yeah, it's not like this. Yeah. But Frontier is also, I think it's a truck that's doing really well for the brand. And they did a nice job with it. And especially when I was in Hawaii, I'm not trying to brag about this, but Hawaii is the land of Toyota Tacomas, right?
Yes.
But
they're everywhere.
I think there is a sentiment among some folks that want a new Tacoma, but don't want a lot of the changes that they made with the turbocharging.
Or a high price of a Tacoma.
Or the high price. So I saw a shoot ton of Frontiers.
Really?
New Frontiers, yeah, in Hawaii. It's kind of replaced the Tacoma in some ways if you want that rugged, more affordable utilitarian truck. Yeah, that's got those new streaks in the front too, the new Frontier.
Yeah, so the styling on the new Frontier changed a little bit. They changed the wheels. They changed a big change on the inside, once again. With a big screen and a lot of other updates, but they kept the same V6, the 3.8 liter naturally aspirated V6. They kept
one of the only trucks, by the way, now that has that
not turbo
in the midsize segment.
Yeah. So the only other ones that are currently are the Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a V6,
Gladiator.
No turbos. The Gladiator and the Ridgeline.
Oh yeah,
remember the Ridgeline?
But Ford's got turbo power. Chevrolet. GMC.
All turbos.
Yeah,
yes.
All turbos.
And, of course, did you mention Ford and Toyota now?
Toyota now, only turbos. That is one thing I'm surprised about is that GM hasn't put that 2.7 in the new Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that 2.7 is kind of like their EcoBoost competitor in the Silverado. So I was pretty certain that they were going to put that in the new Yukon Tahoe.
And they did not.
But they did not.
No,
they're sticking with that 5.3.
So maybe 2026 will be the year of the powertrain, right?
There you go.
Because the SUVs will mostly remain the same, but they might switch up the powertrains underneath.
Frontier has a really silly badge underneath the screen.
It says Frontier.
That is not. It looks like someone did that with Legos. Not a fan of that.
Why do manufacturers decide to do that? You know, put the name of the vehicle boldly on the inside.
Just in bright orange letters. It's like you forgot what you bought. Well, anyways, folks, I think we got a good little podcast in the bag here. Thank you so much for listening and for tuning in, huh, Andre?
I appreciate it. Thank you for going on this event. I cannot wait to see all these SUVs here in Colorado.
Yep.
It's going to be super exciting, and we'll compare all of them.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.